Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always, always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, a few months ago, I was finishing up a workout, and the Lord whispered in my ear, I want you to look in that mirror. I want you to thank me for your body. In fact, I want you to tell yourself that you love your body. Your body hasn't betrayed you. Your enemy has. Your body's a gift from me. I need to tell you, I felt nauseous almost instantly, and I realized that confrontation showed me that I'd held my body in contempt. I didn't mean to. I felt it betrayed me. It was a frustrating thing. Well, I'm not going to lie. It's just like as I stood there, I was at once confronted, and I realized you can't hold your body in contempt and simultaneously expect it to heal. In fact, my guest today says your body isn't a problem to be solved. It's actually part of the solution so that you can heal. One of my favorites, author and fitness professional Elisa Keaton, joins me today to talk about her book, The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. I got an early look at this book so I could endorse it. My endorsement is in this book. I wholeheartedly recommend it. I want everybody to read it. I think even unbelievers should read this because it will make them fall in love with Jesus. It's a thick hardcover book. To me, it's a manual on inner healing and physical, emotional, spiritual health. It's so well researched, so well done. And I'm so grateful we got a stack of copies to give away today. You can email my producer, Angela, at myfaithradio.com. Angela at myfaithradio.com. Put book in the subject line. And if you got questions or comments, send an email to that same address because I love it when you connect. Angela at myfaithradio.com. Quick announcement before we hear from Elisa. If you're traveling this season, we want you to take us with you. Check out the Faith Radio app. It's free. You can download it and live stream our shows from anywhere. Also, we recently launched a new podcast that I'm doing. It's called Grow and Go. It's just 2 minutes, 2 minute daily podcasts about growing deeper in your faith and going out into the world. So go to your favorite podcast player, look for Grow and Go and subscribe. I think it'll encourage you. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton is a leading certified wellness professional with more than 20 years of experience. She's a wholehearted pursuer of God's love. I can attest to that. Is dedicated to educating and inspiring people to live healthy and whole lives in Christ. After more than 25 years as a fitness professional, she felt God leading her to bring fresh meaning to the world of health and fitness. So in 2011, she launched Revelation Wellness, a nonprofit ministry that uses fitness as a tool to spread the gospel message and invites participants to become their whole selves designed by God. Elisa is passionate about leading others to take an in-depth look at what it means to be transformed by God's love from the inside out. Elisa, welcome back to the program.
Suzy, I have been counting down the days on my calendar to be here.
Oh, I love it so much. I've been looking so forward to this conversation. As I told you off the air, digging back into this book, it literally is brilliant. It's so well researched and so well done. So thank you for your hard work on it.
Thank you. Thank you. Coming from you, it means a lot. So we have a shared passion for the body of Christ, you know,
indeed,
we do. Not just the body of Christ as a spiritual entity, but a physical manifestation of who Jesus is on the earth.
Amen. Come on. All right. Well, before we dig into the content, let's start here. What's God been impressing upon your heart these days?
Two words keep coming up when I study: better than. He's better than. Like I keep coming back to, as I read through gospel, especially right now I'm in the gospels, everything about Jesus is just so much better than what we know of this earth. We're so earthbound often and looking around at our circumstances all the time. And we can feel discouraged, so easily discouraged and disappointed. But when I read the Gospels, it's like read through the Beatitudes, how much better. He comes and shows us a better kingdom, but it confronts our wisdom. It confronts our way of thinking. So when I get to that confrontation point, if this is still hard, God, I sense His nearness, something you're talking about, presence. I sense that He knows how hard it is. And I just hear the two words, I'm better than. I'm better than, I have something better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the enemy tries to do, is get us so focused on what we can see, on the problems, like seeing our body as a problem, or our bank account as a problem, or our job, or our boss. He is the troublemaker. The enemy is the troublemaker. And all he needs is a little bit of trouble in our life to get us then to focus on the things of the earth. And my heart wants to reconcile that it is, I am here on this earth and it does hurt, but I have a God who's better than. And that was the whole purpose that it got behind this book, is I wanted to help people not to evacuate from their pain, not to say you won't have pain, but that we have had it and we will have it. And we have a God who is better. So that's what he's teaching me, how much better his kingdom is.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And by the way, I want to give you the title, friends, in case you want in on the drawing. The title, again, is The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. The Body Revelation, Alisa Keaton. Email angela@myfaithradio.com to get in on the drawing. Well, Alisa, you say that the body God's given us is useful for metabolizing not just food, but also mental and emotional pain. Unpack that, if you would.
Yeah. Well, we know that God, nothing is stuck with God. There, nothing is impossible with God, because God is spirit, and Jesus put on flesh and the spirit dwelt in him and showed us that there is a way through this world, but it doesn't mean, again, that we won't have trouble and suffering. And the process of metabolizing, I love it. When we talk about the body, I mean, you're living and breathing and blinking right now because you ate some food. Something has to go in. You do need nourishment. You do need what I call in the book, energy. You need that energy to go in you. If you stopped eating, stopped drinking, there would be no life. Something's always going in us and something always has to come out of us in a practical way. When I eat and I drink, it goes in, I metabolize it, my body breaks it down and puts it hopefully to good use if all things are working well. And then still things have to leave my body. I don't just store up. And there's that picture of something goes in, something comes out. It makes me think of Isaiah 61, that God is the God of the great metabolic exchange. Give me your poverty and I will bless you. Give me the poor and I will bring a wealth of soul. Bring me whatever it is that we have. When Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, there's always hope. There is something that he can take. Whatever we have, we bring it to him. He can take that and turn it into something. Nothing gets wasted with God. I talk about in the book, this gets really, really excited. I think we share, Susie, this love for science, to look at how science is the fingerprint of God, that we don't have to just hyper-spiritualize everything. There's concrete evidence of who God is, and it's in everything that's been made. It's why I think Jesus, we can be told that the rocks will cry out if we won't do it. The rocks can do that. Creation itself is living under this science and matter being made. But there's a law of thermodynamics called the first law of thermodynamics, that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be transferred onto some, passed on, or transformed. And that is the God who doesn't waste everything. He is the source of energy. We can't create energy. We didn't create it, and we won't destroy it. We just keep passing it along, but God created it and he can take anything and change it into good. He will not waste anything. It's Romans 8:28. Everything will work towards good because he will not waste anything. And that's hard for us to put our heads around, but it is also a beautiful thing. But I don't think we've ever been taught how to metabolize, how to take something that is coming in us or feels against us, and how to be present to that without being consumed by it, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to come and do its work. I think the Holy Spirit gets bored sometimes. Like, I could do so much more for you if you would let me. And that's the part of learning to metabolize.
Well, you know, as you're talking and you're even thinking about how energy is either it's displaced or it's transformed, but we have nothing to do with creating energy, and you can't, make it disappear, so to speak. As you're talking about that, you said it so much more eloquently, but I'm thinking of Ephesians 3:20-21, where it says, God is able, He's abundantly able to do above and beyond all we could ever dare to ask or imagine. But the clincher in that verse is according to his work within us. You know, he can do, he will, he wants to, but how much access will you give him? How much access to your story, to your inconsistencies, your pain, to the extent that you give him access to those places, will you see him do above and beyond? And what I know, we again share this passion that there are many Christians walking around who know they're saved. They don't know they're loved, and they'll get to heaven and they were loved and they were saved, but they lived a quality of life so beneath their air status, so to speak. So when we get to the other side of the break, I want you to talk a little bit more about that, the idea of really we can have as much of God as we want. I mean, really, it's like we hold the Dixie cup and the ocean remains, and he wants to reveal himself to us and wants access to those places that we keep coping or making excuses for so he can set us free. And that's what Elisa Keaton's book really is all about. It's health, wholeness, mind, body, and spirit. Her book is titled The Body Revelation: Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. At the end of each chapter, there's mind, mouth, movement, places where you are called to action, called to engagement, because it won't happen without your cooperation. More with Elisa Keaton in a moment. Listen to Faith Radio live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Elisa Keaton. She's a fitness professional and founder of the Wellness Revelation, and really just wants so much for the body of Christ to be transformed by the healing power of God and for us to be healthy, mind, body, and spirit. Her book, I endorsed it and was happy to do it. It was so fantastic. The Body Revelation: Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. Got a handful of copies to give away. It's a hardcover book, thick, full of content, really great. You can email my producer, Angela, at myfaithradio.com and put book in the subject line. If you've got questions, email that same address and put question in the subject line, Angela at myfaithradio.com. Before the break, Elisa, I was talking about Ephesians 3, 2021, about God is able to do above and beyond all we could ever dare to ask or imagine according to his work within us. I would say that message filters through everything that you write, because you really invite us into the cooperation with the Holy Spirit to go where God wants us to go and give him access so he can heal. So unpack that, if you would.
Yeah. The whole point of all this is God so loved. When we start to look at our life and we're focused on the things, you know, we don't have, again, we're so earthbound. But when we lift to think God loved, he created, not because he had to, but because he loves. I love the thought of he's an artist. Like an artist can't help. He because he is love, as it says in 1 John 4, God is love. It is the essence of who he is. He is the source of that energy. He did create it. He is God with that love. And because of it, he had to create. He is love, and he was going to create offspring. So that is the core of everything I do. It is to come back that he is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the communal triune God is love. And so we're hemmed in by that love. And I love that you mentioned Ephesians, because that book, it to me, is one of the best books about understanding how loved we are by God. And we're dead in our sins and trespasses, but God being rich in mercy because of a great love with which he loved us, right? Then Paul's trying to get us to get a little higher, come out of the muck and the mire of the pain, the hurt, the problem with your body, the cellulite, whatever it is. We again look around on the earth, and the Satan gets us to focus on those problems. His love lifts us up, and that we need a strength to comprehend that love, as Paul says. It prays for us that we would have a strength together with the saints. So that means there's something about knowing this love of God that requires me to not just know God and to be known by him, but to know others who know God and who want to grow in knowing him. And that's part of the book too, is that we can't just cocoon off in our healing and say, well, I'll just go over here with God and he'll love, I like to say, love the hell out of me. He's loving the in me into healing. But I have to do that in relationship with others. That connection is required for healing. But we've been so wounded by others often that we hole up and pull back. And many people, like you said, many people are saved, but are they free? Do they know how loved they are? So it's because of God's great love that we can say, hey, we can lift our eyes up from looking down at the weight or the problem, the earthbound circumstance. His love is higher. His love is greater. His ways are higher. His thoughts are greater. And when we unwrap, like really experience that, then we can begin to transform. And that's one thing in the book, Susie, you know, as you said, it's not a book to just be read. You actually have to do the book, like the metabolized portions, the mind, mouth, move section. There are things for people to do. Each chapter has an audio recording that goes with it for people to actually put on a pair of shoes if their legs are able and willing, and go out and metabolize, process this out, get some bilateral stimulation into that brain, fresh blood flow and oxygen. And in light of God's great love with which he loved you, let's move some of this. Let's process some of what you just learned and what might be hard for you, what comes up for you that you don't like, and that we can have that honest conversation, because God is not surprised by our fear, our shame, or our guilt and the things that keep us from him. He wants us to know those things so that we can come to him and get the help that is ever present in times of trouble. So it is everything. If everyone knew how loved they are by God, and that's really the hope, is it's experience too. It can't just be head knowledge. You have to feel it in your body. Love is not just a theology. It is part of your biology. I express this. I've encountered this. I know this. And then that changes neural pathways in our brain. Experience changes neural pathways, not information. Experience, and that rewires us cellularly, biologically, interpersonally. Things start to change when you are just encircled by that love of God. And that's everything that I try to do.
So good. Had Jamie Winship on our show a few times. If you want to be just have your world rocked, those conversations have been amazing, where he does a lot about our identity and how it's imprinted on us by God. And one of the things he says, as scripture says, that we're healed through confession. And he says, confession is truth telling. It's not saying, I'm sorry, repeatedly, because he used to be a law enforcement official. When he would arrest someone, he didn't want to hear, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. He wanted to hear an honest truth telling. This is what I did. This is why I did it. And yes. I think, you know, we confess our sins to one another so we may be healed. But I also say we confess our state to one another. You know, I'm not okay. I'm feeling afraid. I'm triggered by this kind of a thing. And you can't do that outside of community. So if you've been hurt in past community, be activated and believe God for a fresh community that will walk with you, because he's intent on our healing more than we are, isn't he?
Amen. Yes, he is. And it is something you cannot escape. He's a connected God, a communal God, and we have to have that here on earth.
So good. Well, our bodies are so masterfully made. Our bodies are made to adapt, to adjust. They're designed to heal. And I think about like how your eyes will adjust to light when you go from a dark room to a light room, or how your body will get a fever to burn off infection, or how you throw up because you've ingested something that your body says, no, not good. I mean, our bodies are they're just an amazing, amazing machine. We're designed to heal, and God made it that way. So, Elisa, how do we get in our own way and sometimes hinder the healing process? How do we do that?
Yeah, well, first I want to identify, and I talk about this in the book, and that we have had trouble. We have had adversity. We have had pain come to our way in our life. And for some people, if it's happened in your youth, in those very formative years, you can live kind of disconnected from yourself. You move into what we call in the book, stage one is survival, just surviving and just getting through. And so we can maybe, brush off that we need healing and blame other people and just kind of survive and get through. But there is no healing, exactly like you said, without confession. And this, we stop the blaming of what other people have done to us or what they didn't do for us. And when that moment comes, then there's a humility that comes with it. And when we can confess that we know that other people are going to let us down, and we're hard on other people because we're hard on ourselves. But that also, what I want to do is help people understand that changed your brain when trauma mm-hmm. happened, capital T, little t, capital T being the things that overwhelm your nervous system, little t's, ongoing stressors, bullied, shame, divorce, or a death of a loved one, little things, everyone, there's no one alive that is not experiencing some level of trauma, trouble, or adversity. It comes down to how resourced a person is of whether it will be something that is ongoing and get drilled into their biology, that it starts to deconstruct their physiology and their immune system. And we have to recognize that this is not just pain, is not just a spiritual or you're not emotionally healthy or strong enough. It actually affects us on a physical and biological level, especially if it occurred in our youth. But it can happen in our adulthood as we're right now living in such an ongoing stressful time. There's demands on us more than ever. You know, Susie, we receive more information in one day. We have access to more information in one day than someone did their entire life living in the late 1800s. Hmm. And all of that puts stressors on us that we were never made for. And so part of this, I want to help people understand it's not your fault. Like God is not surprised by the time and season you've been born, but you've been born into a time where there is so much coming against our design. And biologically it shifts the organization and structure of our brain when we have those types of pains. So we got to first just get real honest and let people see that. This was out of my own personal story of, I knew what was right to do. I would read the Bible and I would take all the Bible studies, do all the journaling, but nothing was changing for me. And it wasn't until I understood that it was my childhood, my upbringing, some of the stressors of my marriage that looked like it was failing at that time was getting internalized on me. And it was literally making it hard for me to think, feel, and choose what's best. So I needed to heal. I needed to step back. Stop doing what I always do. Because we think if we just try harder, try again, do another round of something, we're so spiritually busy that we're not spiritually present to a God who is still and with us. And he doesn't need us to study our way into faith. We're a child. Just be his. Know we are loved by him. Know the presence of him. And then in knowing him, you want to learn more about him. You're fascinated. You want to ask those questions. So for healing to happen, I think first we have to just recognize that there's things that have come against us. It has affected us physically and biologically, not just spiritually, that God draws us to himself, says, I can take care of that. The world is going to offer you all kinds of substitutes, all kinds of things to fill the gap. But if you've tried it and failed and it still isn't enough and you still lack feeling loved, known, valued, seen, secured, and encouraged and challenged in the best of ways, Jesus waits and says, come and be with me. So in the book, we do a lot of practices about practicing presence, about being just still, as well as going and metabolizing and kind of walking bilateral stimulation and moving some of this stuff through our bodies.
Yeah. So on the other side of the break. Hey, man, it is. On the other side of the break, I want to talk about the body's physiological response to unresolved pain, but also how moving actually helps us metabolize pain. We're wired to move. Talking to Elisa Keaton. We'll more with her in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Elisa Keaton. She's a fitness expert, a healing expert, I would say as well, and her new book is fantastic. I almost said fan-stinking-tastic, and now I just did. Can you say that on the air? I hope so. Her book is titled The Body Revelation, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. A big, thick hardcover book. To me, it's a handbook on not only inner healing, but getting healthy and whole mind, body, spirit. You can email if you want in on the drawing, email Angela at myfaithradio.com, put book in the subject line. If you've got questions, send the email to that same address, put a question in the subject line. Appreciate that so much. So as we've been talking about, I loved the compassion that you talked with of when we address the pain that's hindering our healing, to first to say, this has been hard, and to realize life is hard, and it's not your fault. Most times it's not your fault. And even when it is, you're met by a merciful God who wants you healed and whole. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but you say, actually, I think it was in a previous interview, but we talked about dangerous desires that you write about in the book. Say a word about that, because when we feel pain, we don't want to feel pain, and we'll go right away often to coping mechanisms. And I would love for you to talk about not only the brain, how our physiology and our brain react to unresolved pain, but how they react to coping mechanisms that aren't good for us.
Yeah. Well, because of pain, again, we're hardwired to survive. We're hardwired not to give up and die, which is such a grace of God. So we will keep surviving to get those needs met. The core need, I think, all of us is to be loved, to be truly loved and safe and known. I mean, it really is in that model of a helpless child. I talk about that in the book, that, you know, there's a phrase called learned helplessness, but we're all born helpless. You don't have to learn helplessness. We're born helpless. We need to learn helpfulness, that we can be helped and resourced. And if it not by someone that we should have when we were younger, or even with us right now, that is who God is. He's compassionate. He's near us in our suffering. But when we hurt and we have a desire, the brain, it's just immediately squirts out chemicals to keep us safe, a stress response called cortisol, is one of the primary hormone response or stress response that shows up. And when that gets flooded or pushed through the brain, it will get us to do whatever we can to seek comfort. For some people, when that dopamine or when the cortisol gets released, what we want then is dopamine. We want comfort. And that's what a dopamine hit will do, or pursuing, even just the pursuit of something to comfort us, already will start to calm us. And then once we have what we think we want, then we have hormones like, or neurotransmitters like serotonin, that will tell you, everything's okay now. And I think there's a God. God is merciful. He knows, he's wired us for stay safe, seek some comfort, survive. Don't hurt. Don't be hurt. He doesn't want hurt for us, but yet we have it. And that changes our brain. The more that we live through pain, adversity, trauma, that cortisol response goes out, and that will activate the amygdala. The amygdala will get bigger. That's in the limbic part of the brain, the emotional part of the brain. So for people who live in a chronic state of stress or fear or worry that something is going to go wrong, and if it's a trauma or a trouble that's been done against your own body, then it's like the trouble's always with you, because I can't escape my body. If it's in me, I'm always feeling it. And that release of cortisol and stress changes the architecture and structure of the brain. The amygdala gets really big and active. We call it the fire alarm. It's like it's always going off. So these people tend to have big responses to little things. And your big response doesn't necessarily mean that you lash out. It could mean that you pull back and you dramatically pull in and pull away, and you just want to evade any stressful circumstance. And when the amygdala gets bigger, then our prefrontal cortex, which is the place of higher reasoning and logic and responsiveness instead of a reactiveness, is available in the prefrontal cortex. But if the amygdala is fired up, the prefrontal medial cortex goes down. So we have to quiet down that amygdala, that fight, flight, freeze. And that's where we need compassion. That's where we need a God who goes, I'm with you. I'll listen to the cries of your heart. You can turn the cry of that smoke alarm off of the world. Come to me. Mm-hmm. You are weary. Come to me. You are hurt. And it's so simple, but it's so difficult for us, because we would rather go to the bottle of wine. We'd rather go to the chocolate. We'd rather go to those things because they're immediate. They are wired again in our brain to be immediate, so that we feel the release. But then we get we get over adaptation to the dopamine response. So now neuroadaptation means if I constantly do this to get my dopamine relief, if I constantly go and eat my feelings or eat, then it might feel good for a moment, but then you need more of that. The neuroadaptation that happens in the brain stops releasing as much of the serotonin and those feel-good chemicals unless you have more of the dopamine. Our brains are so ridiculously wired to frustrate us, really, so that we have to go with the spirit. Galatians 5 says that the spirit is opposed to the flesh is opposed to the spirit. So at some point when what we do in our flesh in the immediate need of gratification, when that doesn't work, then we have a God that's saying, come to me. And that peace we receive in him, you won't get the piece of chocolate maybe, or just that immediate response, but you absolutely can get it. And that's why I do practices with people that in order to take a little bit of a pause in a moment, the peace can come and that moment can go. And then the changes in the brain can start to happen. Mm. But we have to build in some safety belts there of let's give it a moment so that we can reroute and do a new decision. But we need compassion and kindness and patience, because that's what love does. Love is patient. So love is powerful. Kind.
I mean, you think about if you gave yourself a moment, consider that a fasting moment instead of quickly defaulting to the coping mechanism, which is affecting your brain and your physiology. You pause and go, I'm going to say no to my flesh so that I can make room for the spirit. And Lord, I want to encounter you here. And think about that, friends, because that gives you a connection to the Lord. And it starts to change your neural pathways in your brain and your physiological response to your story, which is amazing. I think it's 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. And know that word is, I think it's yada, where it's intimate, as they describe intercourse between a man and a woman, like an experiential intimacy with God. Know him in those places. It will change your physiology. And I remember, Lisa, I wrote about this in Fully Alive a number of years ago, a counselor friend said that she and her colleagues were seeing so many clients, men and women, who had all these weird, you know, symptoms that doctors were scratching their head about, going, there's nothing that's coming out in the labs. Mm. And so they sent him to counseling. And she said over and over again, these people had these just accumulated, unresolved losses and disappointments and hurts. And as they started to untangle them and lead them into the presence of God where they encountered his love, she said one by one by one, the symptoms fell away. And I wonder how often that really is the case, where there's so many physiological, where finally it's like she said, you stuff things into your basement of your soul long enough, they're going to get your attention another way. One way or another, they're going to get your attention. And oftentimes the physical is where, you know, it'll manifest at the most inconvenient times. What do you say?
Yes, I 100% agree that we can't be rude to our feelings. We are so afraid by what we feel. And if we, you know, again, if it'll hit that pain point and the limbic brain goes off, we have erratic responses or reactions and not responses. We don't know how to bring our hurts to another without hurting another. We just don't. I didn't learn that as a kid. I learned that my feelings were ammunition. And for some people, feelings are your straitjacket or a protective vest that you keep them on you, but you don't allow yourself to feel feelings without becoming what you feel. I talk about that in the book. They're a North Star. They help us to know where I am in relationship to where God is, because God is love. And in him, there is no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And that's for me, probably one of my known responses is I just get fearful. I feel fear. And in my fear, I always say fear is anger is fear's bodyguard. Anger is fear's bodyguard. And that fear is just the mask that sadness wears, that I'm really all those things at one time. But I really do understand. I know how to get angry. And that's a protective thing. And that doesn't bring us any healing. It doesn't bring interconnection to my whole true self and my husband or whoever else I'm having that conflict with. But yeah, I 100% agree. There's so much on the table that could be done in confessional, safe relational community where No, the enemy is not the flesh and blood. It is the enemy. And so if I can see that and how the enemy has tried to hurt my brain, hurt my body, hurt my soul, I can start to fight the battle from the right standing, right position of my foot. And then it's only a matter of time until my faith, being sure of what I hope for and certain of what I don't see, can take out that who comes against me in fear.
All right. Before we go to break, I want to read a listener question that's really about weight loss and health and wholeness. Mm-hmm. Melissa writes in, my husband and I lost weight on the keto diet a couple years ago, 100 pounds total. He lost 80, she lost 20, but we couldn't stay away from sweets and chips. How does your approach work? We're 53, strong Christians, want to get healthy before we go to Israel in the fall of 24. We want to stay healthy. What say you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first of all, can we just put the facts out there? 97% of diets fail. They don't work. They work for a small period of time. Let me rephrase that. They work for small periods of time. They are not sustainable because it outsources your own interoception, your own awareness of what's going on inside of you. Am I feeling mad? Am I feeling bad? Am I hungry? Those types of questions. But I do want to honor for a second people that have lived through capital T traumas, big moments of come against your body, or little ongoing aggression, stressful life, it will make it really hard for you to get in touch with yourself and to have that moment to just pause, which is why we have to practice the pauses. We have to practice. That's what I do in the book with people. Practice and train the mindfulness, train the peace. You don't just have it suddenly show up. You actually have to create an infrastructure of it so that when the next time you are tempted or you are hurt by something and someone hurts you, you really build in, like I always call it, like bumper cars. You know, bumper cars have that bumper around them so you don't crash into one another. When we're able to slow down and practice being mindful, which is to be in the present moment without judgment, that doesn't mean I don't feel my feelings. I can still feel, but I don't throw judgment onto the moment or someone else. That creates a bumper around us. And that way you can start to choose based on your own knowing and the Holy Spirit in you of, are you really hungry? What are you really wanting? That's what God's wanting for you, friend, on the ketogenic diet, whatever diet you've done. He's not a, you know, that's fine. But if you're really wanting freedom and knowing that diets don't work, then the harder work to do is to pull back and say, I'm going to do the love way, which is patient and kind, kindness to you, dear heart, kindness. Mm. Diets are not kind. Diets are restrictive. Diets are rigid.
Taskmasters.
Yes. Taskmasters, where it's, this is going to be a slow, you know, slow climb out. So maybe change your expectations of your trip. Be kind to you. Maybe you won't get to walk as far because you're not going to lose 100 pounds or whatever it is. You know, we try to, I got a date coming up and I try to lose this much weight in this much time. Maybe it's adjust your expectations of what Israel will look like and how much we can do. But there is a grace for this, and God wants you to enjoy your life. So maybe lowering expectations and lifting up that God wants me free. No taskmasters. I want to be free. And if you want to be free, it is the way of love, which is patient and kind. I talk about that in the book, making decisions based on patience and kindness, even when it comes to what we choose to eat, think, feel, all those things.
You know, in fact, as we go to break, I also, Melissa, would just encourage you to bless your body and bless your husband's body so that you become a friend to your body, not an enemy, not a critic, not an adversary. You know, Dr. Troy, a functional med doc friend who we have on once a month, he said, when you're in a place of self-contempt and that inner critic towards yourself is, you know, running rogue all the time, in your system, in your physiology, it's like having one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas at all times. You know, a house divided cannot stand. So what if you started even now, Melissa, blessing your body? Thank you, God, for my body. Thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do your will. I bet if you came into kind of sync with God's affection for you and your body, your body might regulate. I think you'd be amazed. Yep. All right. When we come back, I'm going to talk about your, you have this section at the end, the metabolize section, where you talk mind, mouth, move. I want to talk about how our activation helps us metabolize pain. What has to happen in our mind? What has to happen in our mouth What does it mean to move, and how does that help us metabolize pain so we can walk free, be healthy, be strong? God really wants you to be healthy and strong. I'm just telling you, He does. And I say this often, every step towards health and healing matters. Every step. Talking to Lisa Keaton, her book, The Body Revelation, so excellent. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can email Angela at myfaithradio.com. Put book in the subject line, and we'll be back in a minute. Hi, this is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember a time as a young mom walking through a difficult time when some friendships broke down and who I thought were my friends turned on me. I soon started to hear things they were saying, and I was devastated because their critique of me matched my inner critic as well. And I learned three things from that time as I drew closer to God. One was that God loves me no matter what. No one can gossip enough about me to God to make Him change His mind about me. He loves me. Two, my identity is secure because I'm created by God. He's already decided about me. And three, I have no option but to forgive. I remember the Lord said, keep the light on in your heart. Keep your heart receptive in case they ever repent and come back. Those three things were really crucial in my maturing of the faith, and maybe you needed to hear them today as we're exploring the theme of forgiveness this month. God loves you. No one can gossip enough about you to make Him change His mind about you, which means your identity is secure. And thirdly, if you take your faith walk seriously, then unforgiveness, is never an option. Forgiveness is always the call. You can do it. With God's help, one step at a time, you can do it. Connecting faith to life and praying together at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Elisa Keaton. She's the founder of The Wellness Revelation, an author, a fitness professional. I would say she's a fitness and healing professional because she doesn't just go after the external physical health. She's, for as long as I've known her, gone after internal healing because, as I often say, what happens in the soul happens in the cells. And her book, The Body Revelation, is just so great. The subtitle, Physical and Spiritual Practices to Metabolize Pain, Banish Shame, and Connect to God with Your Whole Self. If you want in on the drawing, just email Angela at myfaithradio.com and put book in the subject line. Okay, Elisa, let's talk about at the end of each chapter, you have this metabolize section where you're asking us to be activated, and you talk about mind, mouth, move. All right, first with mind, talk about the importance of what happens in our minds.
Yeah. Well, in that portion, specifically towards the book, I ask questions. I want people to bring their, I'm not sure about this, and what kind of questions comes up because of this topic that we talked about, or what do you wrestle with in this Bible verse? I want people to think through. God says in His Word, come, let us reason. And recently I was reading a book about how our desire for love is a reasonable thing. It actually occurs in the brain. You think, and love is something that the brain does. So it occurs in the brain. So when I love that when God's saying, come, let us reason, He's actually saying, come, let us love on one another. Let me know you, and let you know me. Let's just talk. So I think a lot of times we maybe don't ask questions or don't give ourselves room to question, or sometimes we just minimize questions. We're like, yeah, I don't have time to answer those questions. Just tell me what to do, Elisa. I'm like, no, I really want you to have to ask a deeper question. And maybe your answer is, I don't know. That's okay. But yeah, I think we have to contend with the things of the mind so that we know where it needs to be renewed and where there's tension.
In fact, there are questions that you ask us to ask ourselves, and I might ask Angie during this live show if we could put these in the show notes for those who are willing to do some of the work. There have been so many talking moments, God moments, on these shows recently with my guests where I've gone away with the Lord and sat with some of the stuff that's come up. Just been so good for me, and I'm challenging you to partner with God in this. And so these are questions that at least you ask in the book. Would it be okay if we put these three bullets? You say no if you're not okay with it, but I'll read them and you just tell me. First question is, what life desires leave you feeling chronically disappointed and cause you pain? Second is, how has the pain of unmet desires affected your mind, thoughts, soul, your mind, which is thoughts, and your soul, what you desire, and your body? So how has the pain of unmet desires affected you, mind, body, and spirit? And then list some areas of pain in your life that could use Jesus' transforming love. Mm. Now, we will connect that to your book and give you author credit, of course. But is that okay if we post those on
the show notes
so people?
Please
okay.
do. Lovely.
Yeah, very good. All right. So, all right, before we move to mouth and movement, I want to read a question from one of our dear listeners. Her name is Carol. And she says, resonating so much with everything that's being said right now, I've been hearing this from so many places lately, which just means God's getting your attention. She said she started feeling some mental and emotional release and healing through counseling, various therapies, and years of prayer. God recently showed her that he was with her during all these traumatic experiences, and she's felt another level of healing. But she still has a ton of physical, not fully diagnosed autoimmune type flare-ups that are very debilitating. She says she's not sure if her military-related PTSD will ever go away. She says, I'm hearing you say it's more simple than we make it, to bring it to God and let him heal. I feel like I'm doing all these things as best as I can, but I know there's more. I guess I'm curious, what are your top 3-4 suggestions of what you could do once you've given your mental, physical health to God and are daily seeking him while also addressing mental health through medicine and counseling, even non-traditional holistic approaches like acupuncture, kinesiology, expensive supplements, etc.? Anything?
Yeah, it's so good. Thank you. Thank you for being honest and putting that out there. Gosh, what a warrior you are, for sure.
Yeah.
I think first thing I want to do is just also be sure that, you know, in this world, there will be suffering. Sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of this myself, I will raise up this thing that I really want God to do or God to fix. And it actually becomes consuming for me. And it overshadows that God, that he's enough for me. And I doesn't mean that I will have complete wholeness in this world. So I think one thing is to look back and to see how far you've come, to celebrate there has been some movement through the things you have done. But if it feels like that golden ring is always eluding you, it's just always without of reach, maybe just a little, just pull back a bit. And would it be okay if you never were fully whatever we thinking it will be, right? What is the desire? Well, I want total wholeness and peace. Well, sometimes we don't get that in this world, right? Like, I think I just want to always pull down the idolatry of, if God loves me, he will totally heal me. Or if I'm doing this right, then I would be healed. And like, we kind of like, we're humming at a high, rapid pace of this should be happening. And we're working so hard at it that we're just looking at that instead of like, we have God with us. He's here. Is he enough for me? But there's still that element of all kinds of ways of healing. I'm so encouraged by, she's like, I've done all kinds of things. I think I always want to avoid being like the bleeding woman for 12 years who spent all her money and all she had, when what she really needed, and she knew, if I could just touch him. So I would also say this to someone who sounds like there could be some PTSD and things in your past, that being still and knowing and just finding those places to pleasure stack and enjoy beauty and wonder, those
things
will heal.
Exactly what came to my mind. My goodness.
Yes.
It's exactly.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Wow.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Pleasures like stack up. He's all around you. It isn't found in all these things. Those are nice. Those are great. But he's right here. And so to lean into those, and that's just built in you. Your biology wants that and longs for it. But if we're so busy looking at all the things, and now what's my next thing to do? We can miss the beauty that's right there in front of this.
So good. You know, I was thinking, Carol, as Elisa was talking, and maybe you've heard me talk about this on the show before, it's been a while, but Psalm 46:10, it's be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Another translation is cease striving. And what it means, and these are maybe, you asked for 4 things. What be still, cease striving means is to let go, sink down, relax, and in some cases be quiet, and then know God is to encounter God. And I love that, because I'm diligent too. I'm hyper-vigilant at times.
Me too.
Because I want to live. I want to live. Yeah. I want to feel my best. So I'm going to fight for it. But there is that inner tension, as you're talking, where there's times where to let go, it takes more faith to let go. Yeah. Sink down into the Father's love, you know, relax and be quiet. And for me, that's like, if my words are bearing witness against God's promises, it's just better to be quiet and then seek to encounter God. Are you enough here? And then take in the beauty all around you. Yes. I think it's so beautiful. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. All right, so we just got a minute left. So we don't have much time, but we talked about mind, mouth, and move. I want you to get a chance to talk about how movement helps us metabolize pain.
Yes, that's what I was going to say next. Just there's one thing I'm big on in the book and just in the practice and as a whole is gas pedal, brake pedal, gas pedal, brake pedal. Our life is made of, sometimes we got to put on the gas and go, but I think we're all pretty attuned to that because the life of the world around us is going. But in the book and through the Revelation Wellness Ministry, when you go for a walk, when you move your body, when you get rhythmic in a way, it's again, bilateral stimulation. And I have no evidence of this, but we know that EMDR works in the therapy world for people, especially coming out of PTSD. That's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's bilateral stimulation of the brain so that then we can unpack a scary moment or overwhelming moment because the body is being occupied. So when we move the body, we're getting limbic. We're giving that emotional part of our brain something to do, like putting a pacifier in a way so that we can think higher reasoning. And when you fill your mind or your ears with thoughts, God's love for you, words for you, you'd be surprised at what happens that the kind of reorganization and restructuring and health of the brain body that starts to happen. So when we move and process what we're thinking or what's hurting us, there's power in that. A lot of people go to the gym to escape their bodies or escape their circumstances.
Gotta jump in.
No.
Sorry.
God says,
bring it together. You got to come back, Aliso, because we're scratched the surface. Please come back. And friends, thanks for tuning in. Love you all so much. We'll meet you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.